Well, all right, this morning if you have your Bible, I want you to open with me to Luke chapter 7. I want to do something I did last Sunday. We did something different here in worship. Anybody remember what that was? Anybody remember what it was? That's right, we all stood and read together. Now, I don't know if you liked that or not. How many of y'all liked that?
I like that.
How many of y'all didn't like it? Well, stand up anyway. Let's stand up and read it together. Let's stand and read it. You're going to read the Bible one time in a week anyway. If you come to church, we're going to read it together from Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. Let's read together responsively. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had been invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" And Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sin?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Thank you and be seated. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. I want to talk to you this morning about worship. And we have, I think, a beautiful picture here in Luke chapter 7 of a woman who worshiped at the feet of Jesus. I want to say before I begin that the very purpose of our meeting together like this on Sunday, the reason the people of God meet together on the Lord's Day in the house of God, is to experience the presence of God. And that is the one purpose. You don't come just see the choir or hear the choir or the music or the singing or the preaching, but we come to experience God, to meet Him, to see Jesus. Now, this is a great story here, and I think it's a great pattern for worship in the New Testament of the lady, of this Pharisee who invited Jesus to dinner, and the Bible says in the middle of that a sinful woman showed up. Uninvited, she showed up, and she anoints the feet of Jesus with the tears, and then pours perfume and lotion on them, and then she wipes his feet dry with her hair. It's a beautiful pattern, and we learn a lot about worship, I think, Mike, right here. I'll make 4 points real quick. Number one, about this lady, about this visit, and about this woman who came to worship Jesus. Number one, she was a desperate woman. She was desperate for God. And if you're going to be a worshiper like you ought to be, and I'm going to be the worshiper I ought to be, we ought to be desperate for God. She had two obstacles to overcome. Number one, she was an uninvited guest. She was an uninvited guest. But she went anyway. She didn't wait for an invitation. She went anyway. She was pretty bold about it, pretty passionate about it. And one reason I love to be around new Christians. And C has said this before. We get home on Sunday, and she said, "You know, I sure do love it when Mike McCarthy's in worship on Sunday." And she hates to come if you're not here, Mike, because he just knows how to worship God and praise God. And I tell you, what we need, and if you don't remember anything else today, you ought to remember this. When you come to worship, you ought to focus. Your focus ought to be on who's above us and who's in us, not who's around us. Amen? Amen. I want y'all to get with it now today. Get with it. Okay, you get with it. All right. But I want to say that this woman, we have here the story of a man who probably the highlight of his life, this Pharisee, a religious man, Tommy, he invites Jesus to his house. And he's excited about that. And it's probably one of the greatest events, maybe the highlight of his life. He cleans that house bin and gets everything ready. Kind of like my mother used to when we had revival time in the summer, Billy. And Marv, you've done it a lot. And they invite the preachers. Everybody got to feed the preacher. I'm going to Bellwood in about 2 weeks. And I know, you know, they'll probably feed me out there at night. And not that I need to be fed, but they, you know, you feed the preachers. Any of y'all ever fed the preacher at revival time, or you grew up in a home like that? My mother always did, always had the preachers. But anyway, this Pharisee invited Jesus to dinner. And the Bible says in the middle of that, there came a knock on the door. And he went to the door, and who would show up but this uninvited woman? But she was passionate about it. She had to get to Jesus. It might be she heard that Jesus was in the house, and it might be the only opportunity she'd ever have to hear Jesus. And she told her friends, I'm going in there. I have got to get to Jesus. Her life was messed up. The Bible says she was a sinful woman, probably made her living with the P word. She was a bad woman. She had lived a sinful life. Her life, she needed some answers in her life. And she said, I got to get to the only one that can help me find those answers. See, I got to get to Jesus. She's desperate about it. She's passionate about it. Like a lot of people, I went to my first Iron Bowl this past year. Y'all know what the Iron Bowl is? I went to my first Iron Bowl. And I tell you, people was pretty passionate about their team. And I tell you, Jody, we ought to come to church like that. People ought to get passionate about it. You know, we ought to be, it'd be like, I saw people up there. I saw people, they park a mile away, and then they high-five everybody in sight. People that didn't even know. They share popcorn and peanuts with strangers and then yell like Comanche Indians and then come to church on Sunday and hardly even smile sometimes. I think y'all smile. I think y'all have fun. And I think a church ought to be awake and be alive. I think there ought to be joy in the house of God. Amen? Hey, have you been set free? Anybody here free today? I'm a free man. Let me tell you something. I tell you this, Robin. I have had my back up against the wall. You looking at a fella. I've had my back against the wall. I had cancer, and God cured me. He healed me. I have been knee-deep in sin, and God delivered me and forgave me and restored me. I'm a free man.
Amen.
And I'm proud to say that. And I tell you, I've been through some things. Some of you never lived what I've lived through. But I tell you, if you had, you'd worship God. You'd be like that woman. She came and fell at his feet, man. And she hadn't been invited to the party, but she came anyway.
Amen.
And I just tell you, I've heard about, she's pretty desperate to get to Jesus. I asked Bill if I could tell his story this morning. I heard about a guy who was speaking to a group, and he said, can you get me on that camera? Okay. I don't want to walk clean out to the back. They can't get me if I walk under back there, can they? But anyway, heard about a guy, and I checked this out with Bill. I said, can I tell one this morning? He said, yeah, you can do it. Just don't tell it on me. But anyway, this guy was speaking to a group, Roger, and he forgot his false teeth. So he told the fellow sitting next to him, he said, I don't know how to tell you this, but I have forgot my teeth. And the guy said, that's okay, I'll be right back. He came back and brought him a set of teeth, and he put them in. He said, they're too tight. These too tight, it won't work. He said, oh, I'll be right back. He came, brought a set, and they were too loose. Third set, it was just right. I tell you what, Billy, he gave the speech of his life. He gave the best speech he ever gave. He got through, and he said, I tell you, man, you saved my life tonight. He said, yeah, you really saved my life. He said, I'm new in this town. I've been looking for a dentist. He said, where's your office? The guy said, I'm not a dentist. I work right around the corner at a mortuary. Now, I asked Bill if I could tell that. Did I? But thing is, Max, that guy was desperate. He was desperate. And you know, I want to tell you that we need to get desperate for God. We need to get passionate for God. Here was a woman who came uninvited. Tell you another thing about that woman. The Bible says she was a sinner. One, that's the only word it used to describe it. It said she was a sinner. Wonder, that's exactly right. And I believe that's the reason, Mike. I believe that's the reason it's used. That's used to describe her. Because you know what? She's our kinfolks, isn't she? All of us are kin to her. All of us. Every one of us. All of us, our lives have been met. I'm not talking to anybody today that don't have some issues in their life, some trouble in their life, probably some skeletons in their closet. Amen. Not anybody. But here was a woman whose life was messed up. She had to get to Jesus. Then I want to say, second point is, if you're going to worship Jesus, first of all, you ought to be desperate to get to Him. Number two, you got to avoid the criticism. The Bible says when she began to anoint the feet of Jesus, that this Pharisee saw her, saw this woman worshiping at the feet of Jesus, pouring on perfume and lotion, and he began to criticize her. And he said about Jesus, he said, if this man is really a prophet, he would know that this woman is a sinner. Well, I want to say this. I believe, Nancy, we are wrong to criticize anybody's religion. Anybody's religion. That is a Christian religion. That's something I'm going to reserve the right. I believe that Christian, but somebody's worshiping Jesus. We're wrong. I say it like that, Brother Henry. We're wrong to criticize anybody for the way they worship Jesus. If you worship Jesus with passion. And I think sometimes I think Baptists are guilty of this, Marv. I don't think Methodists probably are, but we have let people steal our joy. We let people steal our joy. And the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty to worship. And I want to just tell you that sometimes I can't sit still. I told them in the first service this morning, you know, C has tried to retrain me. She has told me, she said, Sonny, you don't need to sing so loud. You need to blend in with the crowd. Blend in. You know, you need to get to harmony and all that. But I tell you the truth. Here's the honest truth. My feet sometimes won't stand still. George, you saw me a minute ago, didn't you? I felt like marching, you know, felt like a soldier again. I get into worship, and it ought to be that way. Really, I think it ought. I'm not trying to make Pentecostals or charismatics out of anybody. Somebody say, charismaniacs. You know, I'm not trying to do that, not trying to change anybody. But I tell you, God's been good to me. Has He been good to you? Amen. He's been good to you. God saved me and forgave me. He lifted me up. And I was talking to Joe this week and said, Joe said, God had to reach low to get me. Had to reach into hell. Had to reach in clean into hell to get me. Did you say that? But God lifted me up and set my feet on solid rock. Gave me a place to stand. God had to reach that low to get me too. Some of you, He didn't have to reach that low, did you? You've been good folks all your life, maybe. But all of us not like that. But here's a woman who came to worship Jesus. And they criticized her. I'll tell you this. Even Jesus couldn't please everybody, could He? Even He couldn't please everybody. And I tell you, you don't need to worry about pleasing somebody else when you come to worship. You know, because one day, every oprah is going to stand before Almighty God all by himself. And one day, God's going to say, Sonny Moore, you stand up. And they won't be looking. And I tell you all, let me just say this. If you don't remember anything else, when we come to worship, we need to focus on Him. And forget about who's around you. Forget about everything. This woman didn't care, Suzanne. She just came. And that's a beautiful picture of worship. That's the best picture in the Bible of the woman that came. The Bible said she wet her feet, His feet, with her tears. And then poured on that lotion and perfume. And then dried them with her hair. Third, so I want to say, second point, what was the first point? If you're going to worship God, you need to do what? Y'all listening? All right. Get desperate. Number two is what? Forget the criticism. Ignore the criticism. Here's number three. Number three is remember God's forgiveness. Remember God's forgiveness. Jesus told them a story. They said, He's told a story about what? What was the story about? Y'all read this? You just read it. Ruby, were you reading with me? All right, what's the story about? About two lenders. And Jesus asked the question, He said, what? He said, who's going to love the most? Who would love the most? It'd be the one that what? Forgiven the most. And God forgave you. And God forgave me. And I tell you, sometimes my heart gets cold. And it was good for me last Sunday. We had a guy, Marv, you missed it. His name's Kent Heim. He's a doctor here. Some days he delivers 10 babies a day. He may be working today, I don't know. But he sang a song last Sunday. Anybody remember that song? Give Me Jesus. And I tell you this, when I hear a song like that, boy, it does something to me again. Two things do something for me. One of them is singing, coach, music. I love music. And then number two is to read the scripture, get into the word. I was reading last night, though, and it said in Galatians 4, or this week, not last, but this week, Galatians 4. And Paul asked this question to Galatians. He said, where is your joy? Who stole your joy? And I think sometimes in a Baptist church, we let them steal our joy. We ought to be smiling. If anybody in the world ought to be happy, it ought to be God's people. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I'm not going to drag any. I just can't come in here on Sunday morning and sing three songs. I can't do it. Just come in here and sing three songs and listen to a message. You know, shake hands with one another and listen to a message and then go home and sleep it off. I can't do that. I tell you where I want to go home. I want to go home this afternoon and just be wore out. I really do. I want to be wore out. Well, after I preach on Sunday morning, I want to go home and get a nap, man. And I am drained. I have been in worship today. I worship the Lord and I am give out. Have you ever worshiped God like that? Have you ever done that? And I'm not talking about being, but you ought to give of your best to the Master. At least give him a smile. I told somebody this week, they laughed at it, but I said, really, Matt, when you get my age, all you need is a kind word and a smile. Y'all don't get it, do you? That may not be true. Frankie gets it. Do you get it, Frankie? Frank said he got it. Okay. All right, but I want to say to you, all right, three things I just told you. I said if you're going to worship God like this woman did, this beautiful picture, you got to do what? First of all, desperate for God. Number two is ignore the criticism. Number three is remember the forgiveness of God. By the way, Steve, when God got you, he didn't just look down here one Sunday and say, you know, Steve Madley's such a good guy, I need him on my team. Not about that at all, is it? The truth is, he looked down and saw Sonny Moore and said, he is so hopeless and so helpless, that's the only chance. His life's so messed up that I'm the only answer. Christ is the only answer. You don't strut into the presence of God. You don't do that. This woman came and humbly bowed. Last point I want to make is this. I said 4 points. Number one is get desperate. Number two is ignore the criticism of others. He criticized her. By the way, he's a church man. And sometimes cold-hearted church members are the one that are critical. Number three, what was it? Remember God's forgiveness. And number four is give God your very best. Give God your very best. Now, I want to just say that this lady, I want to say that really worship involves emotions. It's certainly not all emotional, though, but this woman, when she got into God's presence, she felt something. And I think people ought to feel something when they come to church. Amen? You ought to feel something, man. I want my heart to be sensitive, Brother Richard. I want to feel something when I come to church. And really, I want people to know when they leave our church that after they've been to a worship service here, man, they felt something. We've lifted them up, you know. But this woman, the Bible says, there's joy. I think a lot of times we're afraid of emotions. But the Bible says in Acts 13, the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says one of the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, and there ought to be joy in the church. I love my mama, probably was my best example of this. When I was a little boy, I used to be embarrassed to stand next to my mother when we were singing, Robin, because my mother would sing so loud. She could out-sing the whole crowd. And she just sang, man. She had to have a good time. She'd just forget anybody else was there but her and God. She's uninhibited. She really is. She's not inhibited at all. When she goes to worship the Lord, she goes with everything. And you know, I just want to tell you, that's really the way to worship. Here's a woman. She gave two things. Now I close. She gave the Lord two things. Number one, she gave her perfume. She came to worship Jesus. She gave Him her perfume. She used the very thing, I think, that she used in her Bob to make her living. That's the kind of woman she used the very thing. I joke my girls. I joke C and Doris about this. I said, it's something about a lady and her perfume. I was coming through the other day, and I said to somebody this week, one of our ladies, they had on some perfume. Estee Lauder. Anybody, I want to ask for your hand. You don't have to raise your hand, but I love Estee Lauder. C knows I love her as much as I could possibly love her, but I was married to a lady for 40 years almost, and I loved her, and that's what Martha wore. She wore the Estee Lauder. I tell you, something about a woman and her perfume. This lady brought her perfume to Jesus. And I don't think she used a dab, just a little bit, a dab or two. I believe she poured it all out. She gave her best to Jesus. Amen. And then the second thing she gave was her hair. Bible says that a woman's hair is her. By the way, it says that about me and you too, Walt, don't it? It says something about blonde-headed men, gray-headed men. The hardest thing for Martha about cancer. It wasn't the nausea and the sickness and the chemo and the radiation. I tell you, the hardest thing was the day we went to Walter Reed Hospital and they shaved her head and she lost her hair. And we drove all over Washington, D.C. to wig shops, okay, looking for the right hairpiece. This little woman, when she came to worship Jesus, you know what a woman's hair means? That is her identity. That's who she is. She took the very thing that identified her. And she gave it to Jesus. I lived in Kansas, Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Went to school out there for a year. Got home from Desert Storm. Brian, we came home, me and you. We won the war together, Gulf War. Me and one of my deacons right there. But I got home 60 days after I got off that plane. They said, you going to... We asked them to stay another year. I said, let me stay at Fort Campbell. I just got home. Let me read. Said, you've been picked to go to that school. You going to school. You know how they do. See it right? They said, you going. You've been assigned. You going. Demetrius, you going. I got out there and I used to run by a big place every day. Not every day, but a lot of days when I run. The Hallmark Card Company. You ever run by there? Yeah, big building. Used to work thousands of people. They have a motto in Hallmark Cards. You know what it is? What is their motto? When you care to send the very best. One day God looked down to this old world. A sin-filled, messed up world. And he said, I will send my very best. And somehow or another, off there in eternity, God transformed. The Almighty Eternal God transformed Himself into the person of His Son. Poured it all into human flesh, Mark. He came down here to live among us. Not only to be an example for us. And say, love your neighbor as yourself. Turn the other cheek. Told us how to live. Everything he said is true. But he also came to die on the cross on a Friday afternoon and to rise again on Easter Sunday morning. And one day, today he sits at the Father's right hand, and one day he's going to get up and he's coming again. And I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? Amen? I do. I look forward to it. I don't think you do so much when you're young, but if you get older and your body gets hurting a little bit, if Uncle Arthur gets after you and you have some of those things, you say, boy, you know, hey. But I do look forward to that day because God sent His very best. This little woman gave her best. She gave her perfume. She gave her hair. What would you give to Jesus? Would you worship Him? Would you be desperate for God? Would you ignore the criticism of others? Would you remember His faithfulness, His forgiveness? And then, the fourth thing, would you give Him your very best?